Because it's true, because it's in the Bible, and in honor of my good friend, Pastor David Gray, who went home to be with the Lord this week, who often said this and was noted for saying it, let's all say, for the Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. Aren't you glad? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I'm excited about the Word of God as always, but I want us to get right into it this morning. So if you got your Bibles, or you can follow us on the overhead or on your phones or whatever, let's look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse number 24. I'm sure this is a familiar passage to you, but let's read it like it's the first time you ever saw it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Amen. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine. Well, Jesus has just given us a lot of teachings or a lot of sayings, you know, on the Sermon on the Mount in chapters 4 or 5, 6, and 7. But his sayings are not just his promises, but any of his sayings, any of his commands, any of his instructions, any of his injunctions to us that tell us how to live in life, that tell us how to be a good husband or a good wife or a good father or a good mother or a good employee or a good employer, or how we relate to other people, any of his sayings. Whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But whoever hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came. Notice it's the same exact storm. It's not the storms of life that defeat us. It's whether or not we're doers of the word in the midst of the storm. That's what determines whether we walk in victory or whether we're defeated or not. Same storm came to both houses. One house fell, one house stood. Then the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Amen. Well, the emphasis in this scripture, of course, is being a doer of God's word, putting His word into practice in everyday, you know, living, practicing the word of God, being obedient to His sayings or being obedient to His teachings. And like we kind of pointed out there, you know, you can't, before you can be a doer of the word, you first got to be a hearer of the word. You can't act on or do or obey that which you've never heard. So that's important. We understand that. We have to know what the Word says about faith, about prayer, about walking in love, about money, about our relationships, about how we are to behave, about what our attitudes are to be, about what it says about being, like I said, a husband, father, wife, mother, and so forth. What does the Word say to us about submission to authority? That's all part of the sayings of Jesus. Amen. But ultimately and finally, we hear the sayings of Jesus so that we will obey them, so that we will be doers of the word we hear, so that we will act upon them and believe them and do them. Can you say amen? Amen. So we can hear and do the sayings, amen, or we can hear the word or hear but not act on and believe what the word tells us to do. We can do either one. Glory to God, amen, about our money. About everything, you know, about submission to authority, like I mentioned, about relationships, about our attitudes. But when we are doers of the word in any of these areas of life, then in that area we are blessed. When we obey the sayings of Jesus, and of course that takes faith. It takes faith to act on God's word. When you act on God's word, when you obey the sayings of Jesus, when you believe them and put them into practice in everyday life, then we are blessed. Isn't that right? You know, James 1:25 says, the doer of the word is blessed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And not only are we blessed, but we overcome the storms of life, the trials of life, the problems of life that come to all of us from time to time. But if we are not a doer of the word of God in a particular area, in other words, you might be a doer of the word when it comes to your finances, but might not be a doer of the sayings of Jesus at all when it comes to your marriage. Well, then in your marriage, you're not going to have success because you're not doing what Jesus said to do. But if we are not a doer of the word of God in our marriage or in our finances or any other area, then in that area, we will not be blessed and we will be defeated by the challenges of life. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, and great was the fall of that house. Amen. And so if we are defeated in some area, because we didn't know the word, or because we knew the word and didn't act on it and obey it, amen, then we can't. Listen to me. We cannot. If we're defeated because we did not act on the word of God, because we're not a doer of the word, if we're defeated because of that reason, we cannot say God didn't want us to be blessed in that area. No, we didn't get blessed in that area because we failed to act on the word of God. So we started a message, and I think it was a couple of weeks ago now, and where we are looking at the connection and our part to play between the believer's responsibility and his ability to walk in victory and be a blessing in the kingdom of God. Not only do I want to walk in victory, but even really, to be honest with you, before I want to be blessed, I want to be a blessing. I really do. Make me a blessing, Lord. Use me. Touch through me. Help through me. I want to be fruitful and productive in the kingdom of God. Well, you're going to have to obey the sayings of Jesus to be fruitful, you know, not just to be blessed yourself, but you're not going to get very far. You're not going to build much. You're not going to do much. You're not going to fulfill your role in the body of Christ and be successful at it and fruitful at it unless you're a doer of the word, unless you obey his sayings. And there is a definite connection between our responsibility and our ability to walk in victory and be productive and fruitful in his kingdoms. In other words, we do have a responsibility to know and believe and act on the sayings of Jesus in order to walk in God's plans for our life and in order to victoriously overcome the problems of life. Amen. I said amen. You know, so Margaret heard a lady preach, and she was telling me about this in the light of my message a couple of weeks ago. I don't know whether she heard this or saw this on something. She saw it on Instagram, actually. And here's a lady, and this lady said this. She said, here's a job. You want the job. So she said, you have a good interview, and they hire you. That's the Lord's will. You have a bad interview, and they don't hire you. That's the Lord's will. You have a very bad interview, and they hire you anyway. That's the Lord's will. You have a really, really good interview, but they don't hire you. That's the Lord's will. And the point that she was stabbing us with was simply, just relax. It's all in God's hands. You have nothing to do about it. You have nothing to say about it. Whatever he wants to happen is going to happen, so just relax. And you know, you could preach that and get a lot of smiles and probably get a lot of amens. The only problem with it is it thoroughly unscriptural and not aligned with the word of God. Amen. And so we said many Christians have a que sera, sera theology. Now, I realized as I thought about that a couple of weeks ago, it occurred to me that a lot of younger people have no idea what que sera, sera is. Because I am getting a little older, you know. But que sera, sera was a song, you know, a very popular song. Que sera, sera, whatever will be, da, 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 da. It's a catchy little tune sang by a lot of people, but it really, really became famous when one of the most famous actresses on the planet at that time, Doris Day, recorded it and sang it in a movie. You can look it up, Doris Day singing Que Sera, Sera. And the expression means, you know, whatever will be. Just whatever will be, you know. And so that became a part of in America, it became a part of our everyday vernacular in the 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s, but maybe not so much today, but it was just a part of our lexicon, a part of our everyday language. Amen. Whatever will be. So just roll with the punches and let it happen because you're not in charge and you have no say-so whatsoever anyway. Well, really, that's kind of what we call a fatalistic outlook, isn't it? You know what fatalism is? Fatalism is, hey, some bad stuff's going to happen. So just submit and get over to what comes your way because it's going to happen anyway. You're not in charge. You can't stop it. So just roll over and just accept it. And a lot of people have that kind of que sera, sera fatalistic attitude in the body of Christ. But is that in line with the Word of God? The Word of God says we have a free will. The Word of God says you can choose life or you can choose death. And if you choose the things that lead to life, you'll experience life. If you choose the things that lead to death, then you'll experience death. We can do things that are harmful and destructive. Have you ever shot yourself in the foot? Come on. Have you ever, anybody besides me, ever shot yourself in the foot? You ever shot yourself in both feet? Well, we can't shoot ourselves into both feet and then blame God for it, can we? No. So we can do things that are destructive to ourselves and others, God forbid, or we can walk in the wisdom principles found in the Word of God. We can obey the sayings of Jesus. Amen. And the Bible tells us to resist and stand against and not accept anything that the devil tries to put on us. So if the devil's coming along, it's not just whatever will be. No, if I recognize him as the source of my problem and recognize that this sickness is not from God, this mental anguish is not from God, this thing trying to rob me of peace, this fear is not of God, this thing that's causing me to wants my family to suffer and do without and not even hardly have enough food to eat or whatever, if I recognize that's not from God, then I shouldn't just roll with the punches and accept it. I should violently resist it, just like the Word of God teaches me to do. And that's important. Amen. So I will not submit and give in to whatever comes my way. You know, the flesh wants to do a lot of things that are harmful. Well, we're not supposed to submit to the flesh, are we? We're supposed to crucify the flesh. Amen. Praise God. And the mind wants to think a lot of things that are unhealthy and unholy and not good for us. And so we're told to keep our flesh under. Glory to God. If you don't get anything else out of the message this morning, just say this: I'm supposed to keep my flesh under. All right. Now, we said there are at least four things that are very much our responsibility along these lines as believers. Four things. Number one, you can write, it's our responsibility, then list these things. Number one, it's our responsibility, according to the Word of God, to make right decisions. Number two, it's our responsibility to know and believe the truth. Number three, it's our responsibility to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Some people don't even hardly know who the Holy Spirit is, but we have to know the Holy Spirit and follow His leadings. Glory to God. And then number four, it's our responsibility to recognize what comes from the devil and then to resist that. You'll never walk in much victory unless you recognize the source of all opposition, the source of negative, evil trials in your life is the devil, and unless you learn to stand against those things. Praise God. So if we don't recognize our responsibilities and our part, then we won't get Bible results. How many of you like to get Bible results? But it's amazing to me, it always has been, how many people in the body of Christ, good people, sincere people, people that really do love the Lord, but it's amazing to me how many people in the body of Christ just ignore or discount or cast aside or explain away the promises of God because they didn't get results, even though they didn't do their part. In other words, they made wrong decisions, or they didn't follow the leadership of the Spirit. They couldn't even give you a good definition of what faith is, and faith is how we overcome, faith is how we receive the promise. They didn't do their part at all, and they didn't get results. And so they just discount and ignore all the sayings of Jesus that tell you, if you do this. See, that almost makes some grace teacher's head explode when you say there are conditional promises. Not conditional on our worthiness. No, we're worthy and righteous because of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is conditional upon whether we believe God's word or not, or act on God's word or not, or whether we're a doer of the word or not. That doesn't violate of grace. Obedience to God's word and obedience to His sayings is not a violation of grace. You see? Glory to God. Well, that's another subject. Amen. And so what happens many times is people hear the Word of God on some subject, they get excited about the Word of God on some subject, but sometimes they just kind of go off half-cocked. They really don't have the Word of God firmly fixed and established in their heart. So when they try to act on the Word of God, but then when they don't get instant results and they face the pressures of life and the devil screams and yells at them and says, it's not true, you're not healed, you're not going to make it, you can't really have peace, you can't really have a good family life, you can't really have, you know, those things. You've got to be discouraged, you've got to be depressed. And so the Word's not firmly fixed and established in their heart, so they yield and just let the devil steal the Word out of their heart. But here's what happens a lot of times. You know, the Bible says that anytime you get a revelation of God's Word, anytime somebody preaches the truth and you hear the truth of God's Word, the Bible says the devil comes immediately to steal the Word of God that was sown in your heart. Once the Word of God is sown into your heart, the Word of God on any subject, about being a good employee, about being a good employer, about forgiveness, about love, about walking in faith, about anything. Once the Word of God is sown, healing, once the Word of God is sown in your heart, if you'll get that Word firmly fixed and established in your heart, and you will not let the devil steal it from you, and you will stand strong and keep believing that Word and continue to believe that Word, then that Word, just like a seed, will grow up and produce a harvest in your life, a harvest of whatever it is that you planted in your heart. But you see, the devil always comes immediately to steal the word that was sown. So somebody hears the word of God and they realize, well, God doesn't want me to be broke, and God doesn't want me to, you know, he does want to bless me financially and help me financially and help my family financially. And so they hear that word and they begin to act on that word. But then the car breaks down and the washing machine breaks down and they don't recognize what's happening. The devil comes immediately to steal the word that was sown. But they don't recognize that. So they just say, well, I guess that doesn't work. And they throw that out the door. Amen. They let him steal the word. And so they quit acting on the word. They quit being a doer of the sayings of Jesus. So their house is no longer built upon a rock in that area. And they don't believe and act on that particular word because it didn't work for them. So they cast it aside. They throw it away. They explain it away, they ignore it, and then accept some little theology that's kind of a case of sera sera theology again of whatever will be, you have no control. They decide it must not be God's will to bless them. It must not be God's will to heal me. It must not be God's will to answer my prayer. It must not be God's will for me to have a good family. It must not be God's will for me to be mentally free. It must not be God's will for me to have victory over the tests and trials of life. Because I had this experience and I didn't get this result. But we don't get results unless we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't get results unless we obey the sayings of Jesus. We don't get results unless we continue to be a doer of the Word of God, regardless of the pressure of the circumstances we face. We don't get results unless we learn to resist the devil and stand against his lies. And I think we got to get back to remembering something. The devil will challenge you at every turn and at every opportunity. He will do everything he can to hinder you and stop you and get you to believe things that are not true. And he's good at it. I mean, as they say, give the devil his due. He's good at being the devil. You know, devil itself, the literal term devil means like you just, you know, like I was trying to break through on this wall and I just hit it one time with the hammer and it doesn't do it, but I just keep pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding until that's what devil literally means. And so I was reminded of something. I went out and got it there during praise and worship. I reminded of something that Brother Hagin said. And so I went and looked it up. He said, you know, a wavering faith won't work. Once you take your stand, don't waver. I learned at an early age to take my stand. The greatest battles that have ever been fought have not been fought in the air, on the sea, or in the battlefields of the world. They have been fought in the human spirit. The Bible says that we are to fight the good fight of faith. Didn't say we are to fight one another. Amen. Didn't even say we're to fight the devil. It says we're to fight the good fight of faith. In other words, one of God's sayings says something to you, but it doesn't seem like you have the ability to do it, or it doesn't seem like that it's true in your life. You know, the Bible says that sin has no dominion over you, but it doesn't seem like that's true in your life. But if the Bible says that's true about you, then it is true about you. If the Bible tells you you can do something, then you can do it. And so you see, you fight to believe what God's Word says. This is a good fight of faith. You fight to believe what God's Word says about you instead of what the devil says about you, instead of what your mind tells you, instead of what the flesh tells you, instead of what mental reasoning tells you. You fight to believe what God's Word says. And like I said, sometimes you can have times in your life where it's just a continual battle, where you're being barraged. He says, we often wonder why it's so hard to believe God and fight the good fight of faith. He said, the reason is because we are surrounded by an antagonistic atmosphere in this world. The world is presided over by Satan, the enemy of all righteousness. Paul calls him the God of the world, God of this world, the prince of the powers of the air. We live in a Satan's unreal world, surrounded by currents of unbelief that are so subtle that they can dominate us before we realize what's happening. These currents of unbelief are so persistent that only some rise above them. For example, to believe God for finances is a continual struggle against the materialistic currents that buffet us. To believe in Christ for victory over sin can be a never-ending battle with the spiritual host of darkness. To believe in God for healing for the physical body is to put up a battle against centuries of trust in medicine alone. Therefore, living in the world as we do, it's easy to base our faith on physical evidence instead of the Word of God. That is an enemy of faith. Amen. And so I'm just reminding you that there are challenges out there. There are things we face in life that we have to overcome. So don't think there's anything wrong with you because you have to face those things. Amen. I said amen. Glory to God. Now, but the point I was making a while ago is a lot of people have an experience. Their experience, they don't get results. They don't get answers to prayer. The sayings of Jesus said, if you do this, you'll have this kind of marriage. And they think they're doing it and then it doesn't work for them. So what they do is they begin to interpret the Bible in the light of their experience. The experience they had contradicted what the Word of God said. And so I've said for years and years and years, you know this, don't ever interpret the Bible in the light of your experience. Always interpret your experience in light of the Word of God says. And don't ever throw away or cast aside or explain away what the Bible says just because you had some experience. Amen. It didn't line up with what the Word of God teaches. Glory to God. Because if we don't obey the sayings of Jesus, if we don't act on the Word and be a doer of the Word, then we won't experience what it promises. See, you can't take sides against what God says and then expect to get Bible results. No, we've got to agree with God's Word and believe God's Word and act upon God's Word. Amen. And sometimes people even this is another aspect of it, but sometimes people even blame God for their problems. They really do. They shoot themselves in both feet and they believe the lies of the devil. And they don't act on some word of Jesus, the sayings of Jesus, and then things don't work out. But then they accuse God of failing them, because they're suffering, and I feel for people. They're suffering, and bad things are happening to them, and they blame God for what the devil did. I'd read about this lady that was in prison. She's just a young girl, just in her 20s, and she said her parents, got a divorce when she was 5 years old. Well, she ended up living with her dad, and it wasn't a good situation. You can just imagine. She said, my dad just had a succession of different women, that he lived with over a number of years, and she was robbed of her childhood, and, like I said, you can only imagine. Well, by the time she was 13 years old, she was a prostitute on the streets. By the time she was 16, she was hooked on drugs. At 17, she got married and had a baby. And when she was 19, she was sent to prison for selling drugs. So her life had not been fairy tale, you can imagine. And she's in prison. She said, I blame God. I was very bitter all those years. I blamed God for my parents breaking up. I blamed God for the lack of, for my experiences as a child and all the terrible, terrible bad things that happened to me. She says, I blame God for everything that was wrong in my life. And she said, but while I was in prison, she said, this magazine was floating around called The Word of Faith. Well, that's Kenneth Hagin's monthly periodical, The Word of Faith. And she said, in that particular Word of Faith, she said he had written an article on don't blame God. And so she realized as she read that article that, God didn't do this to me. God loves me. God's on my side. God wants to redeem me. God has a beautiful plan for my life. It was the devil that broke up my family. It was the devil that got me involved in drugs. It was the devil doing all these evil things to me that caused for me to suffer so much. And so she realized all of that. And that caused all her misery and heartache and suffering. So she got mad at the devil. That's a good thing to do. She quit blaming God and got mad at the devil. And she saw he was a liar. So she gave her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, glory to God, got a bunch of other teachings, by Brother Hagin, because she had learned that lesson from him, got baptized in the Holy Ghost, began to speak in other tongues, and her cellmate, because she got her cellmate saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, they got 39 other prisoners saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And at their particular prison, because they can be different denominations and so forth, their particular prison was a Roman Catholic priest, and they got him filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. Glory to God. And when I read her testimony, she said, I'm about to be released from prison. And she said, my husband, who has gotten saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, she said, when I get released to prison, I'm going home to my husband and little girl, and my husband and I intend to enter the full-time ministry. Praise God. See, that's why this is so important. It plays right into the devil's hands when you think that God is the one doing all that bad stuff to you. That without knowing it, you're cooperating with him. Maybe unknowingly, unwittingly, but it's just cooperating with the devil and just makes it that much easier to come in and steal and kill and destroy. Glory to God. Well, this girl's life was radically changed because she saw the truth. So what do the scriptures say along these lines? You could teach on these a long time, but real quickly this morning, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, that's manifestations of the Holy Spirit, and with power, that's the faith aspect, with manifestations of the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the... Everybody Jesus healed was under satanic oppression. Every single person that Jesus healed was because they were being oppressed by the devil. And when he healed them, he was doing a good thing. One day a man came into the synagogue, and he had a withered hand, and they all watched him because it was the Sabbath, and they're so afraid he's going to heal on the Sabbath. They could care less about the man. But Jesus said, is it lawful, is it right to do good or to do evil on the Sabbath day? They said, well, to do good. And then he healed. He told the man to stretch forth his hand, and his hand was made whole. And when he did that, he was doing good. And he was healing the man that was oppressed of the devil. We read about the little woman that was bowed down and could no wise lift herself up. I think the Bible says for 18 years. Is that right? And she said the Bible specifically says she was oppressed of the devil. Wasn't God doing it to her? God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. 1 John 3:8 says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So there are works of the devil. There are things the devil does, and we should stand against those things. Luke 9:56 says, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. In John 10:10, Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. But the thief, that's the devil, that's Satan, comes not except for to steal and to kill and destroy. That which steals, that which kills, that which destroys in your life is of the devil. It's not from God. God is a good God and the devil is a bad devil. Old Robert said, that's the greatest revelation I ever got. God's a good God. He's totally good. He's always good. And the devil's a bad devil. He's totally bad and he's always bad. Amen. So before you will ever walk in much victory, you must realize that anything that comes to your life to hurt you, to kill, to destroy, to rob you, to oppress, is of the devil. And you should stand against it, not submit to it, not yield to it, not accept it as God's will for your life. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse number 10. Ephesians 6:10. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. Thank you, Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Not in yourself, but in the Lord. How are you strong in the Lord? Well, you're strong in the Lord when you believe His promises. You let the promises of God hold you up. You're not holding them up. They're holding you up. If you sit on your porch swing, the swing's not holding you up. It's holding you up. That's what I'm trying to say. Well, just sit down in the promises of God. How do you do that? You believe them. You know them and believe them. You're strong in the Lord when you recognize that you have authority to use the name of Jesus, and you in the name of Jesus make the devil leave. You're strong that way. You're strong in the Lord when you recognize who you are in Christ Jesus. So be strong in the Lord, not in yourself, and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against, to withstand, to resist. Stand against the wiles, my cross reference says, the schemings of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against a spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having all done all, to stand. Verse 14, stand therefore. How many of you know what the theme of that is? Stand. Amen. 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, be sober, that means be self-controlled, and vigilant. You know, if you're vigilant, you're aware of your surroundings. You're aware of something that might be dangerous to you. So be self-controlled and be aware of the danger around you, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9, therefore resist him. Stand against him. Don't yield to him. Steadfast in the faith, or stand strong in your faith against him, or stand and resist him with your faith, some translations say. So we are to stand against anything that is wrong, not just sin, but anything that's not in line with God's word. Discouragement, depression, fear, sickness, lack, doubts. Amen. Fears. You know, the devil, like I said a while ago, it's not a struggle we don't win, but in some ways it is a battle, a great battle, as Brother Hagin said. You know, the good fight of faith. And sometimes the devil just machine gun shots thoughts to your mind. And he's crazy, and he'll tell you anything. He'll tell you that you'll never be happy, you'll never be fulfilled, you'll never make it, you'll never have peace of mind. He'll tell you, you know, you're going to die early. He'll tell you that your financial future is not secure. This is going to happen and that's going to happen and you're not going to make it. He'll tell you that you'll never have a good life. You'll never have a good marriage. Just all kind of, how many of you know what I'm talking about? Just crazy thoughts. Of course, you can, most of those thoughts you can dismiss and get rid of in a matter of seconds. You know, you're going to have an accident. You're going to, all of a sudden you just see an image of your car crashing or your motorcycle crashing. You're going to die. And just instantly say, no, I resist that. I stand against that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God says He gives His angels charge over me. And just go down the road happy. Some things, because the devil's been working on you longer and maybe you've yielded to it more than you should have. Some things are, you know, he's trying to build a stronghold in your life. So you're going to have to be more diligent about withstanding him and resisting him. But if you will faithfully and regularly resist him and stand against him, just as the Word of God teaches, he will run from you, he will flee from you, and you will overcome. Peter goes on to say in that scripture that I just quoted, be sober, be vigilant, because you have an adversary, therefore resist him. Think it not strange that these things are happening to you. They're happening to your brethren all over the world. But we can and we do overcome. Can you say amen? It's so important. It's so important. The devil at times will come to you again and again and again. He will at every opportunity try to stop you and get at you in some way. How many of you know what I mean when I say he'll try to get at you? Glory to God. And make no mistake about it. I wish I could get this across to you. We are in spiritual warfare. There is a battle. And we do have to resist. And we do have to stand against the devil. Amen. Make no mistake about it. It is the devil that brings these things to your life that are harmful. These things that are harmful and destructive and that want to destroy you in some way, they are of the devil. They're not of God. God does not bring evil tests and trials and problems our way. James 1:13 says, let no man say when he is tempted. Literally, it means tempted, tested, or tried. Let no man say when he is tempted, tested, or tried, I am tempted of God. So I'm not going to say it, because God said, let no man say. But a lot of people say, no, God's doing this to me. God brought this my way to teach me something. What's he teaching you? Well, I don't know. God brought this way to make me strong. Well, it looks like to me it's destroying you and making you weak. Let no man say, so I'm not going to say. Let no man say, or woman, so I'm not going to say. And it's interesting. We don't have time this morning, but just quickly, if you read this in context, all of James chapter 1, again, he's talking about temptations, tests, and trials of life. The Greek word here translated temptations and tempted and so forth, listen to me, means to face a trial or problem or temptation to sin that's designed specifically to destroy you or crush you or cause you to fail and to defeat you. Anything that comes to your life, does that sound like sickness and disease? Does that sound like mental and emotional discouragement, depression? See, if it's designed to hurt you, to destroy you, to crush you, that's what the word literally means. Anything that comes to life to hurt you, that attempts to steal and kill and destroy or oppress you, is a demonic attack. And God said, "Let no man say." And it's very, very interesting. When he said, "Let no man say," I want you to realize this without breaking down every Greek word this morning, but if you realize this, this is very emphatic in the Greek. James is saying, look, don't ever say that. They were going through a lot of persecution. He said, don't ever say that. Let me say this to you as strongly as I can say. What are you saying? I want you to never say this because God isn't directly, nor is he indirectly, the cause of your problems. It's the devil. So let no man say when he's tempted, I'm being tempted and tried and tested of God. It's not God. He was really addressing this with them as they were kind of thinking, you know, well, we know God's not directly doing this, but is he somewhere way, way back over here in the background just kind of allowing this to happen? That's literally what James is addressing. He's saying, don't say that. Quit saying that. It's not true. Let no man say these things are designed to crush you, to hurt you, and rob you of the joy of life and fulfillment of life and so forth. So don't ever say that. Amen. I said amen. Glory to God. And then we need to realize something too here. I'm going to get this across. We're almost through. Recognize these things are not your friend. Recognize them as an enemy and stand against them. To walk in victory, you must recognize that the source of your problems, all opposition for you living for God and experience his blessings, those things are from the devil, and you are to stand against them. And then we're going to have to own up to something. Listen, don't waver or worry. The second you get into worry, then you're no longer in faith. I know because we teach and we want to get across to people, just because thoughts of worry attack your mind, thoughts of fear attack your mind, that doesn't mean that you're worrying yet. I realize that and I understand that. That's very true, very important. Just because doubts come to your mind, questions come to your mind, that does not mean that you've gotten out of faith. I realize that. I understand that. We resist those thoughts and they leave us. Amen. Glory to God. And those thoughts can come and persist, but if we don't accept them, then they never. If we don't take the thought, it never becomes our thought. But if you actually do begin to worry, then you're going to have to realize. See, because we don't ever like to, we just in the body of Christ, we just don't ever like to say, you've got some responsibility in this thing. People just don't like that. They'd rather have a case of rah-sah-rah attitude. But the moment we get into worry, then faith is out the door and things won't work for us. I was reading something just this week by George. Some people say Mueller, some people say Mueller. I actually think his name was George. Some people say George Mueller or Mueller. I actually think his name was Mueller. But people don't, you know, from Britain in the 1800s. You know, in his life, he cared for over 10,000 orphans. George Mueller was a tremendous man of faith. He believed God for millions of pounds, you know, British, millions of dollars. Can you imagine 10,000 orphans? I mean, he housed them, he clothed them, he fed them. You know, I think this school eventually ran like 900, 1,000 kids. Well, think about having that. There's no radio in those days. There's no TV in those days. There's no mass appeals for him to support him. He, as much as he cared for orphans, and he did care for orphans, he wanted to prove to the world that a man could live by faith and just tell God what he needed and nobody else, and that God would supply his every need. And people would go there, and they said the man was amazing. This one man tells a testimony about being there. He said, I was there, and he said, they were out of food. He said, they had cooked the last meal. He said, everybody's going to bed, you know. And he said, the next morning, I forgot how many kids they had, 700, 800 kids at that time. He goes, there's no food. And he said, I tried to talk him into worry, but he just refused to. I tried to ask him questions about it. He said, oh, it's all in God's hands. It's all in God's hands. He said, we went to bed, but he said, I didn't sleep a week that night. He said, that's the way I stayed up all night long worried about it. He said, but he slept like a baby. He said, I know. I snuck over there and looked in his room, and he's just snoring away in there. He said, the next morning, I forgot what time it was, but real early. He said, all of a sudden, here come, wagon loads, because this is the 1800s. Here come wagon loads of food, where somebody just brought it up and said, we just felt impressed to come bring you this food. Glory to God. Well, he said, listen. He said, the beginning of worry is the end of faith. And the beginning of faith is the end of worry. The beginning of worry is the end of faith, and the beginning of faith is the end of worry. So we need to tell ourselves, I'm talking about to us as word people, sometimes we think we're in faith and things aren't working for us, but if you're worried about it, you're not in faith. I understand you can be attacked with thoughts of worry, but if you actually worry, then you're not in faith. We need to own that. You know what I mean by that? We need to own that. James 1 again says that we're to ask in faith and don't waver or doubt through unbelief. The man who wavers and doubts will not receive anything from the Lord. Again, doubt thoughts, fear thoughts, worry thoughts may bombard our minds. That doesn't mean we are wavering or doubting or worrying, but if we actually start to worry and if we actually do waver, then we will not get Bible results, and we need to recognize that and own that so that we can fix it. And not just go around acting like we're believing because we know what the Word of God says. Are you listening to me? Amen. But you're going to have to recognize your enemy. In a bullfight, if the bull wasn't already weakened, because as I understand it, sometimes they drug them up and, they stab them a bunch of times before they face that matador anyway. But just go out here in Cleveland, Tennessee and find you a good old bull and walk across his pasture. Mark and I were on our motorcycle, big motorcycle, and got big handlebars, and we were riding real slow on this country road, and all of a sudden there's a bunch of cows over there, and all of a sudden I noticed this one jerked up his head, and he come trotting over there, and he was bull of the wolves, bull of the woods. He was a bull. And he came over, and he got right beside us because we're going real slow because we're going up to make a right turn, and he just followed us. And we turned, he turned with us. If a matador knew that skinny little matador was his real enemy and not that red flag, how long do you think that matador would last? Not long at all. And when you know who your enemy is, then he won't last very long either. Hallelujah. When you're strong in the Lord and when you recognize who your real enemy is and you stand against him, then the devil does not have a chance. Can you say amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. We're going to stand. And having done all to do, we're going to stand. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know what happens if you just sit back and recognize, I just need to own that. I know what the Word of God says, and I'm agreeing with what the Word of God says, but the fact of the matter is right now, I'm just worried about this situation. Or the fact of the matter is, I'm just not just having wavering thoughts. I am wavering. Well, see, I own that because then I can do something different. Because I know how to cast my cares over on the Lord. If I'm not in faith, I know how to get in faith because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Or I can adjust my faith. I can quit trying to use a nickel's worth of faith to get a dollar's worth of results. You know what I mean by that? In other words, if I don't have enough faith to believe God for $2 million, I'll settle for one. Find out what you can actually believe. You may be in a situation where you need to go get some help from the banker or from the doctor or whatever. But if find out what you can literally, truly believe, and then believe that, and it'll happen in your life. There were times in my life it had been great just to go pay cash for a brand new car and be debt free, but in the natural I couldn't do that, couldn't come anywhere close to doing that, and I wasn't at a faith level to go get a new car with. But I believe God to give me a really, really good deal and get me a nice brand new car, a good one. And then I believe God that it would be easy, easy, easy to make the payments. And I got exactly what I believed in my heart and said with my mouth. But then your faith grows. George Mueller said this. He said, I found out at the end of my life that it was easier to believe God at the end of my life for £1,000,000 than it was for 1 pound when I first started. No difference with God, but he had grown, he had developed his faith. So don't fall under any kind of condemnation, praise God. Just believe God and just act on the sayings of Jesus. If he says to submit to your own godly boss, then submit to him. And God will get you a new boss or get you out of there or something, but he'll take care of you. Just do what he says. Just do what he says. Say, I'm a doer of the word of God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands to God and praise him over this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I hear the Spirit of God saying, rise up. Rise up. Rise up. I'm not going to add to that because that's all I hear. But just rise up. Rise up. Don't lay down, in other words. Rise up, get up, move. Hallelujah. Believe God. Stand in faith. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Submit to God. Everybody say, I'm going to rise up and do the word. I'm going to act on. I'm going to obey. I'm going to believe the sayings of Jesus. I'm going to be a doer of the word. And I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to do my part. And God will always do his part. I believe God. I believe God. I believe the word. And that settles it. In Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. 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 Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. 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 Once upon a time, I should leave about the once upon because this really happened. One time, for whatever reason, you know, I had cold, flu symptoms. I mean, this must go back 25 years ago. And, of course, you know, I knew how to believe God. I'd been touched by the God's healing power over and over and over again. Never even pick an aspirin, you know. But something had happened to me a couple of months before that, and somebody said, well, here, take this. And when I took it, all the symptoms just disappeared. Because that particular type of over-the-counter cold medicine just happened to, you know, work that day for me. And I thought, well, this is really cool. And so some kind of flu-like symptoms came all over me, and you know, I mean, I knew what the Word of God said, and I believed God. But instead of just really releasing my faith, because if I release my faith, I'm serious, and I intend to stand come hell or high water. But I just got kind of lazy spiritually, lazy with my faith, and I thought, well, I'll just get some over-the-counter drug. And I took some over-the-counter drug, and it didn't help, and I got sicker. And I brought a different kind of over-the-counter drug, and it didn't help, and I got sicker. I bought a different kind of over-the-counter drug, and it didn't help, and I got sicker. And this went on for about 5 or 6 weeks, and I was sick as a dog, as they say. And finally, one day, I got up and threw all that stuff out. Now, there's nothing wrong with taking medicine, but in my case, you understand where I'm coming from. I threw all that stuff out the door into the garbage and stood up and said, I believe God, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed, and I believe I've received my healing. And I got immeasurably worse. But I stood my ground and resisted the devil. And then after dealing with this for like 6 or 7 weeks, in a matter of a day or two, every symptom had disappeared of it. Sometimes you're just going to have to rise up and say, enough is enough. And put your foot down and refuse to take it anymore. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Everybody happy? Everybody good? Amen. Well, the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. God bless you. You're dismissed. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.